I looked at my PowerPoint and compared it to Mike's PowerPoints. And Mike's PowerPoints have like things that pop up underneath when he clicks them, so you can only see like one thing at a time. Mine doesn't. Mine just has all the information in one go. I don't leave you in suspense. I don't have a fun big font. And even in something so insignificant as my PowerPoint, I've found myself comparing myself to Mike and kind of thinking, why aren't I as good as him? Surely I'm as good as him at PowerPoints. And I found this sense of, it just irked me. Why? It's a PowerPoint. But isn't that our story for so many things in our lives when it comes to pride? When we see things, when we do things, the way we act, even in the seemingly insignificant moments in life, a lot of the time it's because there's something in our heart that makes us do that. So the thing we're going to ask today is why we should be unstuck from pride. Is pride a bad thing? Is pride a good thing? Because to me, it seems like pride isn't all that bad. It shouldn't be that bad to be proud of your achievements, to be proud of your family, or to be proud of something you did. That seems quite good and quite fair. However, as I've read the Bible this week, it seemed that pride isn't a good thing. So I went to the dictionary to get a modern understanding of what it means to be proud, and I found these two summaries. The first one, feeling deep pleasure or satisfaction as a result of one's own achievements, qualities, or possessions, or those of someone with whom one is closely associated. Now that doesn't seem terrible to have those thoughts, to feel deep pleasure or satisfaction for something you've done. The second one is having or showing a high or excessively high opinion of oneself or one's importance. And that's not so good, is it? They're quite obvious to distinguish between those two. But I went to the scriptures to see what the scriptures said about pride. In 11 different places in Proverbs, it denounces pride. There's nothing good said about pride. Only speaks of it as a bad quality. The Old Testament prophets speak of pride being a part of the downfall of the people they speak of. In the New Testament, Peter, Paul, and James all speak of pride and how it is not a good thing, how it is in fact a bad thing. The only two verses I could find that didn't speak badly of pride and used it in a positive light, the word that they used didn't actually translate to pride, it translated to boast, in the same way that Paul speaks of boasting in Christ. So I couldn't find anywhere in the Bible that spoke positively of this pride that is denounced so often. If you look at 1 Peter 5, 5 to 7, it says this, in the same way you who are younger submit yourselves to your elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Now, God opposes the proud is an incredibly big statement. And hopefully it's one that makes you feel a little uncomfortable and sort of rubs you up a little bit the wrong way. Throughout the week, I've just thrown into conversations with people who have asked me how my prep is going, why I thought pride is not a good thing. Just sort of challenged them a little bit. I said, the Bible doesn't speak very fondly of the word pride. Some of the responses I got were not that shocking. Pride can be a good thing, is what I heard mostly. Pride's not a bad thing. Pride can be quite good. I got a couple of sarcastic remarks as well, and one person said, so what am I supposed to not be proud of someone when they do something well? And they sort of stormed off a little bit, and we didn't really finish our conversation. And these are good responses. I think they're good responses because it means this is something that maybe we struggle with. Maybe something that's a little bit uncomfortable. And maybe it's something that strikes a nerve. Now, is me saying we shouldn't be proud of anything okay? Or am I mishandling God's word? Should you be proud of your fancy car? Or your nice, clean, well-looked-after house? Can you be proud of your kids when they do well at school? Should you be proud of your friend when you find out they have gone sober and are getting on top of their addiction? Whatever it might be, can we be proud of ourselves when we get a promotion for a job that we have worked hard for? Some of those might be pretty clear cut. Some of them might not be. Maybe if you guys had conversations afterwards, you'd disagree on what you could be proud of and what you shouldn't be proud of. I don't know. But the word proud, it can bring up a lot of different emotion. Now, in this context, in this passage, the word proud translates to appearing above others or haughty. What a great word. Everyone in the morning service this morning laughed at me when I said I didn't know what haughty meant, and this week was like the first week I'd heard it. We don't use the word haughty anymore. It's a great word, though. I'm going to. But I guess we say arrogant instead of haughty. I like the sound. So that's what it means to be proud in this context, to appear above someone else or to be acting in a manner of arrogance. Right, so we all breathe a sigh of relief because that's not us, isn't it? That makes sense. Instead of acting arrogantly or in a way that makes you appear better than others, it says live in a way that shows humility. Live in a way that shows your humble nature. That's what Peter is comparing here. God opposes the proud, the arrogant and the self-righteous, and he looks favorably upon the humble. Now, if we were lazy, we could say, excellent. That means that the word proud here means I'm not actually proud at all. So I can continue living the way I have been because I'm right, which ironically is pretty haughty and proud. Something tells me that as people who love the Bible, as people who love to learn from God's word, we are not going to be satisfied with some head knowledge that could free us from worrying based on technicalities. As lovers of God's word and lovers of God, we should want to test all of our actions, all of our attitudes, and see if perhaps even in what we think is good and pure, we are still acting against God. So I want to bring up three things that pride does, and you can test them in your own lives. Hopefully, as we look at these three things, instead of making a list of every action that we would deem as sort of a bad pride and maybe listing every action we could deem as a good pride, maybe instead we can just look to our own lives, we can be convicted by the Holy Spirit, and we can allow him to do his work in us. So the first is this: pride breaks relationships. Now, I always dreaded getting my test results back in school. Very rarely did I fail, but very rarely would I get marks that passed anyone else of significance. I was a 55 to 60% kind of student. I liked it there. It was nice. But it was also not that great, because there's a lot of people who get more marks than that. Something I found as a 55 to 60% student was that I would always be asked how I went by friends, not because they cared how I went, but because they would get an opportunity to tell me how they went. It would go something like this. They'd come to me and they'd go, oh, how did you do in the test? How did you go? And I'd say, oh, you know, I got 62%. And they'd say, oh, that's so good. That's so good. And they'd kind of keep playing it out, waiting for me to ask them how they did. Because that's the real reason they asked me how I went. So I'd give in. How did you go? Oh, I got 94%. You know, but 60's good. Why? Why is there a need to do that? Why is there a need to have that conversation? And maybe you're thinking, BT, how can you be so critical of your friends? How can you think so lowly of them that is the motivation for their conversation with you about how you went in your tests? And I can say with some certainty, I know that it is true, because whenever I got a higher mark than someone else, I did the same thing. Because it feels good. How did you go? Oh, you only, oh, guess who did better? It feels good. Why couldn't that conversation look something like this? Hey, how did you go? I got 62%. How'd you go last time? I got 58. Gee, how good is that? you improved and you bettered yourself. And then you just leave that conversation. I wonder what a friendship or a relationship would look like if that was the basis of it. If what we were looking to do is simply build the other person up instead of try and have something that says, but look how good I am. Look how well I did. Philippians 2:3-5 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. When we think of pride in our relationships, we think of selfish ambition. Why do we feel the need to bring things up so we can feel good, even if it means someone else feels pretty ordinary? Not just in school grades, but in the way we speak to each other and the way we treat each other. Why, when we have that little bit of information that could really hurt someone but build us up, why do we share that? Why, when we have an opportunity to look higher, why do we take that opportunity? I don't believe that if we had the same mindset as Jesus in our conversations, we would want to put others down. We would want to lift them up. See, it's one thing to feel content or joyful that your house is clean and tidy. It is another to lord it over those who come over. It's one thing to be excited about your brand new car that you worked hard to save for. It's another thing to show it off and use it to further your own interests and feelings of security. It's one thing to get a good grade on a test that you worked really hard on. But it's another thing to have that in mind and know what you want to get out of the conversation that you have with someone. Pride tells us that we should let others know how well we have done. It tells us that we should diminish someone else so that we can feel secure and safe about ourselves. And it doesn't seem so crazy that God would oppose something like that. What does humility do? Humility doesn't feel the need to get involved in the conversation. It asks a question and doesn't bring comparison in at all. Instead of pitting ourselves against one another, humility actually jumps off the track and doesn't even get in a race, doesn't even get in a contest. Instead of saying, look how clean my house is compared to yours, or how nice my car is compared to yours, or how well I did in that test, it simply just shows an interest in the other person and how they are doing. What do they need at this time compared to what do I need at this time? I've had a lot of friendship breakdowns because of the way I treat people. And I'm sure you can think of times where either you've treated someone badly or someone's treated you badly, and that's led to a breakdown. And that's come to because of something in your heart that needed you to feel secure and feel above. Second thing is that pride breaks ourselves. Genesis 3:1-5 says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. You will certainly not die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Why is there a need to know? You will be like God. Now, I'd like to think that with hindsight, maybe I wouldn't make the same mistake, but I'm sure I would if given the opportunity. There was obviously something in Eve that said, you know what, I deserve that. I deserve to have equal knowledge to God. There's something in us, in the way that we act, that says, you know what, I think I deserve to have equal knowledge to God. Why in the world would we think that we deserve to be equal to the Creator of everything? And it's quite simple. Pride tells you that you deserve more than you do. Pride tells you that if there is someone who is better at something than you, if there is someone who is more qualified at something than you, then you deserve to be their equal. While doing my sermon prep this week, I had to listen to one person in particular. They have a PhD in theology. I didn't like their view and thought they are wrong. Me, with 3/4 of a theology degree, was sitting in my office telling my screen that that person's wrong. The person who has a doctorate in Pauline literature, compared to me, the guy who has not even a degree in theology. For whatever reason, I thought I was on equal terms with him and I had the same knowledge as he did. How's the arrogance in that? Could it be that we just had differing opinions? Could it be that what he had to say was actually fairly valuable? Well, not in my instance, because my pride told me I deserved to have as much say as he did. I knew as much as he did. I have swiftly learnt that I don't. And this is something I have to keep in check the most often. This thought that for whatever reason I deserve something. If you have a piece of paper, or if you want to do it in your head, but if you have a piece of paper, I'm going to ask you a few questions, and if you can just answer them, it's pretty easy. It's just out of 10. It's just 3 questions. The first one is, out of 10, how would you say your academics is? If you had to give yourself a mark out of 10, what would you give for your academic ability? Second one, what would you give yourself out of 10 for your sporting skills? Funny, that got to say, most people laughed at that one this morning as well. And third out of 10, what would you say your handiness out of 10 is? Are you a handy person? What would you give yourself out of 10? Now we've written them down, we'll get back to them. But I was listening to a podcast this week and I heard this dating site did a survey. Thousands of people were asked a bunch of questions. One of the questions was, are you a genius? Thousands of people were asked this question. Statistically, 1 in 1,000 people are a genius. 2 in 5 men said they were. I want to talk about maybe a prideful thought about how good we are. 2 in 5. If you move that out, that's 400 in 1,000 thought that they were the 1 in 1,000. Sounds ridiculous when you say it out loud. But what is it about ourselves that we feel like we could tick, yes, I'm a genius? So simply, 2 out of 5 thought that. When we talk about how pride can break ourselves, we have to ask ourselves, are you okay with being average? Because that's how we break pride. That's how we beat pride, and that's how we build humility. Are you okay with being average? Are you okay with being 5 out of 10 in a bunch of things that you'll do in your life? It sounds a bit harsh because for whatever reason, we think we deserve a 7 or an 8 in everything we do. Pride tells us that we're better than we are. So for most of us here, maybe we gave ourselves more than a mark of 5 out of 10 for those 3 questions. Maybe we gave ourselves a generous mark. For me, I was pretty generous. I did this at the start of the week when I was thinking about this. So I'll give you my sport. I gave myself an 8 out of 10 for sport. Yeah, right, that's pretty arrogant. Because that means that there's only 2 marks out of 10 that are better than me. 9 out of 10 and 10 out of 10. So let's take cricket, for example, because that's the thing I like. What's Virat Kohli? What's Don Bradman? What's Shane Warne? How arrogant of me to think that maybe they're only 2 marks out of 10 better than me. Me, the guy playing local cricket at Doubleview, thinks he's 2 marks off being an elite sports person. It's wild. So I had a bit more of a think about it, and I've decided I'm probably more like a 5.3 out of 10 for sport. I think I pass. Like, I think I'm a little bit better than average. But that's okay, right? Why do I think that an 8 out of 10 means so much? When really, that's not where I'm at. Maybe if I worked hard, maybe if I trained well, maybe I could get up to 6 out of 10. You know, let's say 8 out of 10 is probably more like a state level cricketer. Maybe I could get to 6 out of 10. Two levels down from that, I'd be happy with that. But why was my first instance, yeah, I reckon I'm 8. For anyone that knows me fairly well, I gave myself a 6 out of 10 for handiness. That's ridiculous. Because handiness implies you can fix things. A 6 out of 10 means that if I'm average, I'd fix most things that I break. A lot of the time, I don't even try. I think I'm more like a 3 out of 10 for handiness. But pride tells me I'm better than I am. Yet, when it comes to things like, you know, getting stuff done around the church, I'm not the first person to put my hand up because I know I can't do it. When it comes to fixing things, when it comes to getting out in the garden, when it comes to looking and tidying things up here, my hand doesn't go straight up because I know it's not my specialty. Yet, why then did I think I was above average at something that I'm probably not? And that's okay. Romans 12 says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." Wouldn't it be a shame if Troy and I spent the next 6 months arguing over who was better at a thing neither of us were good at, and we didn't end up doing the things we were good at because we were so caught up in the pride of wanting to be the best at something that we're not called to? What would it be like for you to go home today and think about that? Pride tells us that we must be good at everything. And I must compare myself to everyone else in everything I do. Pride forces us to put this mask on that is always competing so we feel okay. Yet humility asks, have you grown? Is the thing you're chasing after even worth it? Is it something God has called you to? Is it something God has put in your wheelhouse? And it says, the only person I need to compare myself with is who I was yesterday. And how am I growing in that skill compared to myself? Finally, it breaks our relationship with God. And as spiritual people, this one should break our hearts. Psalm 10:4 says, "In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God." In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. It's pretty uncomfortable to think about. And if we take the rich young ruler, for example, we can see how we can push God out. He thought he was doing well. "Jesus, look at all these things that I've done. Look how well I'm doing. But what must I do to have eternal life?" We heard the story. Jesus says, "Get rid of your possessions and give them to the poor, and then come and follow me." The rich man walks away sad because he can't do that. And why not? Why can't he do that? I would like to contest that it was because of pride. On the one hand, we have Jesus, God's Son, the perfect human, the one who had been performing miracles and teaching in a way that was fresh and new and exciting. On the other hand, we had the rich guy. He's probably a good guy. I don't want to slight his character. But he isn't Jesus, is he? And the rich man is prepared to listen to Jesus when it's about the things he is doing. "Hey, I'm doing all these things. Tell me I'm good." But when Jesus confronts him with something in his life that he doesn't really like, suddenly something in his heart stops him from agreeing with Jesus. He might have, and he might have seen Jesus' point, and he just wasn't prepared to do it. But there was something there that stopped him. And the point is, in both of these instances, pride breaks down that relationship. Either a pride that says, "I am right and you are wrong," or a pride that says, "I think I am right and I'm going to continue doing it because I really like this stuff, even if I am wrong." And that's us with God. Why don't we take notes during sermons so we can reflect on them during the week and talk them through with people? I normally tell myself it's because I have a good memory. That's not true. I don't. I tend to forget when Mike and I debrief on a Monday. It's because there's something in my heart that says I don't need to take notes. There's something in my heart that says I'm better than that. I work at the church. I don't need to take notes. I will remember. And what does that do? It makes me feel like I didn't learn anything, because during the week I forget the message. And what does that do? It means that I don't live more like Christ in a way that we're being called to. Hurts my relationship with God. And who do I blame for this? Not me. It's not my fault. How often are we reading the Bible? What does not reading the Bible tell us about our pride? It might seem trivial, but I think it tells us a whole lot, because we're told to lean on God in all situations. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But when a tough situation comes up, why is the first thing I try and do to solve it myself with my own understanding? I lean on my own understanding. Why does pride get in the way when I have an opportunity to look to the one who has the answers? Why do we stand in the same groups after church every week? Why, when we have problems with others, don't we follow a biblical method of rebuking and questioning? Why don't we pray? Why don't we sing praises to God? Why don't we all join a growth group? Why don't we all give to offering? I'm not saying that the only cause of all of these things is pride. I know that there are other things that grab at us. But as Mike said last week when he spoke about being unstuck from fear, he said normally when we are fearful, it comes hand in hand with being prideful. Pride says, I think I know better than God. Or it says, I think I've learnt it all so I can get there on my own. That's why I don't read my Bible. That's why I don't take notes during a teaching time. That's why I don't have to be a part of congregational worship. And if right now you were listing off other reasons in your head as to why you don't do those things, then that's okay. Maybe you have really good reasons. But maybe you don't, and you're trying to justify it so that you don't feel convicted. Humility says, I have so much more to learn from God. Humility says, I have so much to thank him and worship him for, so whenever I get the chance, I will. Even if it means singing out of key, even if it means spending 20 minutes a day or whatever it looks like reading the Bible, even if it means concentrating for maybe 5 or 6 minutes longer than I would be prepared to while we pray, even if it means remembering a notepad and a pen every week, even if I only write 3 things down. And even if it means not passively aggressively dealing with problems, but doing it in a proper way. So what does this mean for us going forward? How can we be unstuck from pride? Do you need to look at your relationships and think about how you can build them up? How has pride been hurting them? Do you need to look at how you're treating yourself? Do you need to say to yourself, it's okay that I am average at some things. In fact, it's actually quite freeing. Do you need to say, I still have a lot to learn and I'm actually pretty excited about that? Do you need to look at how pride is hurting your relationship with God? In too many things, you are trying to be his equal instead of learning from him, growing in him and trusting him. The rubbish thing about pride is that no one can force it out of you. I don't like horror movies. They terrify me. I don't sleep after watching something that's not even that scary. That's just what I deal with, so I don't watch horror movies. When someone asks me, hey, Brendan, would you like to watch a horror movie with me? I say, no, I wouldn't, because I'm fearful of them and I don't enjoy them very much. It's pretty easy to show my fear to someone. However, if I wanted to be prideful and show someone that maybe I wasn't weak, I could say, yeah, let's go watch that horror movie. Let's do it. I love horror movies. And then I'd spend the next week just not having a good time. But people wouldn't see that, would they? Pride is something that we can hide away if we choose to. When someone asks you, hey, how's your relationship with God going? You can quite easily say, yeah, really, really good. I'm reading the Bible. I'm getting to church. I'm ticking all the boxes. And how does someone call you on that? How does someone say, well, no, you're not? They can't. So how do people work on pride in your life? It's a tough one, isn't it? Because pride can be hidden. How are we going to deal with those issues if we don't let anyone in? If we keep putting up the front that we're not really being in the way that we think. And it's moments like this that I'm thankful for grace. Although we don't deserve it, God gives us another chance with our friends. God gives us another chance with ourselves, and God gives us another chance with Him. That's why Jesus went to the cross. God says, hey, I see that thing in your life, and even though the last 6 months you've been blatantly denying it to your friends, I'm going to give you another opportunity to speak it out. I'm going to get them to ask you one more time, how's this going? What's going on there? You're going to get a better mark than your friend, and you're going to get an opportunity to let them know it, or you can walk away. God doesn't give up on us. And that's a very good thing, because I've given up on friends when they've been prideful, and people have given up on me when I've been prideful. But He knew that pride would be a huge burden. And like 1 Peter says, it would make us anxious. It would make us unnerved, make us unsettled. But we have an opportunity to give that pride over to Jesus. We have an opportunity even now today to say, you know what, that's not something that I'm super keen to have in my life anymore. And I'd like to start working on that. God opposes pride. God does not like proud people. You can be joyful and happy about the car you saved up for, but the instant you use that to lower someone else, God opposes you. That's harsh, isn't it? Sounds really uncomfortable. You can be happy that you worked really hard for that promotion, but the second you use that to put someone else down, God opposes you. God will never oppose you when you help to build someone up. God will never say you did a bad job when you try and build someone up, even if you mess up. When humility is in your heart, He sees that. And He calls it to the forefront of our lives. We're going to close and sing the song Grace. And I think that's a really great song for us to close on as we think about the fact that we have been redeemed even though we don't really deserve it. And even though we hurt friends, even though we break relationships, even though we hurt ourselves and our relationship with God, He says, through me, you are restored and you get another chance. Through me, you have an opportunity to put pride down and lift humility up. Thank you for being here this afternoon. By grace, I am redeemed. By grace, I am restored. If you'd like to know more about pride and want to know more about how you can get it out of your life, or you just want to talk to someone about it, the elders and myself will be at the front of the church, and we'd love to chat to you, we'd love to pray for you, and we'd love to help make a plan to make sure that humility is something that flows in your life and pride is something that is diminished. Thanks for being here. Look forward to having coffee with you or chatting with you up in the front.